Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for hitting that play button for another episode of the Hetty Coleman Podcast, where the goal is always to provide you with content to help you discover the right things to be consistent in order to achieve your wins. And I do that of various ways. One is I write a blog, and then I kind of come and sit down in front of the mic and share that blog post with you. But then also I have Go Win conversations. And today I have somebody I've been rolling with for a long time, ladies and gentlemen, a very long time. And I'm excited to have this conversation with my man, PJ. PJ, how you living?
I'm good, man. Yourself?
Man, I'm doing great.
It's good. It's
now,
good.
I'm calling you PJ now because, you know, I know you got an official an official name. Tell the world, like, the different names and what they mean and how you rolling.
My full name is Rudolph Tolar Jr. I also go by PJ, P. Jilla. P. Jilla, I got that nickname in college. And what else I got? Jilla. So it's PJ, P. Jilla, Rudy, or Rudolph.
Yeah. Do you remember when you got the P. Jilla?
Yeah. One of my, I believe it's my guy, Randy Bush. I want to say around 98, 99. So I think it was out there a song on Jay-Z, something that said P. Jilla. So it came from that. And then since then, everyone started, what's up, P. Jilla? What's up, Jilla?
Yeah,
it came from that. So I want to say either my guy, Randy Bush, or my guy, Johnny Jones.
Okay.
Gave me that nickname.
I'm going to help PJ with the mic. Just kind of turn it. Okay. Get it a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can push it this way.
Is that there?
Yeah. No. You can actually push the mic to angle towards you.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, P. Jilla, and then when you grew up, what did everybody call you?
PJ.
Okay.
PJ. So, PJ.
Your name starts with an R, right?
All right. So, I'm a junior. So, my grandfather, my father's side, they told me that my father was messy when he was young, so they gave him the nickname Porky, Porky the Pig, like a messy pig. Okay. So I'm Porky Jr.
Okay.
So I got two cartoon characters, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that's get teased a lot, and then PJ Porky Jr. So
nice. This was out in Chicago.
Yes, out in Chicago.
Tell me what it was like growing up in Chicago.
Woo! Crazy. Learned a lot, but also it was a lot of love. Like, my family grew up in the Robert Taylor Homes, the projects on the south side of Chicago. And then my mother, started working at Blue Cross Blue Shield. So we moved out the project, but we were still able to stay with my grandmother who lived in the project. Both sides of my family, my father and my mother's side, stayed in the Robert Taylor Homes. So you'll see drug dealing, gang banging, but also you see kids having a good time.
Yeah.
And then after we moved out the projects, we stayed in an area called Inglewood. Still the south side of Chicago. Our block was kind of calm, but surrounding blocks was kind of crazy. Like I said, gang violence, things of that nature. So it was crazy, but I say I survived. I came to Oklahoma to change my lifestyle. So I'm out here now.
So you're in Oklahoma. We're in Guthrie, America right now, which is in Oklahoma, just north of Oklahoma City. You went to Langston, which is just a few minutes away from Guthrie, America.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you transitioned out of Chicago?
Yes.
How in the world did you end up at Langston University?
So in 97, I came out here in 97. So there is a program back in Chicago called Ada S. McKinley. So what they do is they try to place kids, high school kids in Chicago to college outside of Chicago.
Yep.
And so we went there. So Langston was on my list. Tennessee State was on my list. Virginia State was on my list. I got accepted to Virginia State, what I told my cousin, who's out here as well. So the first school to pick us together, we going.
Oh, okay.
And so Langston picked us both. And so we flew out here, and I was just telling my niece why we was coming up here. Like, the first town was Guthrie.
Yeah.
I remember that Dollar Tree down the street. It's got all our college supplies. It was another store, I believe. It was another grocery store we went to, got all my goods. And so Guthrie was the first town that I came before, when I came to Langston to get all my stuff for college.
What year was that?
This was 97.
90s, man. Wow.
This was 97, man. Yeah. So came out here, and then it was so crazy when I was driving down 33, and I started seeing all these cows. I'm like, this is too country for me. I don't know if I could do this. And so somehow my cousin found other guys from Chicago that week, freshman orientation week. I'm looking like, I ain't know these guys. He just said, I'm from Chicago. And so the first week of Langston, we had a party and we had a fight with some guys from Tulsa. And from that day, I think all the guys from Chicago just bonded together. And to this day, we like brothers to this day.
For sure.
And I was telling my niece my experience. I cherish my experience at Langston. I love that school so dearly. I have friends from around the world. I became a man out here.
Yeah.
And I will never take that for granted. So I wholeheartedly embrace my experience and time at Langston.
That's good. That's good. So coming from the big city, coming to Langston, small town in the middle of nowhere, like literally, and then in Oklahoma, like Oklahoma's not known as a big city kind of place or whatever. You come to Chicago, you come to Langston, and you're saying at this point, you find a community within Langston that kind of transitioned from where you were.
Yeah.
And then that kind of gave you this comfortability, this ability to make it through. Did all of them graduate?
I'm going to say not all of them.
Yeah.
Some did. And it's so crazy that some of the guys from Chicago stayed in Oklahoma. They stayed in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And some went back home. Some moved to Tampa. Some moved to Atlanta. But like I said, I ended up staying. I think I came to Oklahoma City around like 03 just to see how the vibe was about. Because when I moved to the city, I was like, it got to be something out here that kind of relate back to Chicago. Because I was into the hip-hop scene for us. And I also discovered you for us the whole Poetry Night.
Yeah.
And so once I got exposed to that, and I got exposed to like Vernon when they was doing the hip-hop shows, JB and them. And so like, okay, it's a hip-hop scene. It's an art scene. It's a poetry scene. Okay, I found something that I love to do.
Yeah.
And that made me more comfortable when I moved to the city. And so I was like, oh, boom.
So you find a community within Langston. That was the guys that you came, you rolled down.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are all from Chicago.
Yeah.
Then you had to find another community.
Yep.
But it was still based around something that you kind of identify with, which was the arts.
Yep.
Right? And one of those things was Retail Story. And that was in 2003?
Yep.
Okay. 2003. And then, so let me go back real quick. So when you transitioned from Chicago to Langston, did you think about even going back? Was there
ever? I did. Okay. I did. But when I graduated, I was like, I don't want to go back living with my mom. Because I know that there was certain guys or students, they go back and they stay with their mom and they get stagnant and stuck. I didn't want to do that. So I'm like, after I graduate, I'm going to stay here and figure it out. Because I end up going for my master's after that. And so I end up staying and that was the best decision of my life, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because I became more of a man. You know, I struggled. After I graduated, I had like multiple temp jobs. I'm like, man, I got an MIS degree. I'm supposed to make some money right now. But I was struggling, man. Yeah. I'm like, golly.
Yeah.
And so it grew me up a lot.
Yeah.
So then I was like, I don't want to be dependent on my mother. So I'm gonna work it out. So that's why I ended up staying.
So you got your master's at Langston as well?
No, I actually got my master's at University of Phoenix.
Okay,
cool. And it's insane, computer information systems.
Yeah.
And so I kept in that whole information technology stuff. Because I was at Langston, my first major was computer science. I couldn't deal with the whole advanced math or programming that much, so I switched to MIS.
Oh, okay.
And then graduated from that and then got my master's in. Kind of the same field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the difference, do you believe, for the ones who because I'm trying, just in case we got some students getting ready to go into college, just trying to give them a feel of what this looks like. What do you think the difference was between the ones who finished school versus the ones who didn't, as far as your community, those guys that you had originally connected with?
I mean, the ones who finish, I mean, most guys I know to finish, they're in great careers right now. I have a guy, worked with Chicago Police Department. I got a guy who's he was doing finance, but now he's also doing real estate investments. One guy, he's a manager. Some guys working at Tinker. Some guys are coaches. So there's guys who finish. You know, they know them pretty well. Some guys who also didn't finish. Some are doing well. Well, some feel like they could have done better.
Yeah, if they would have finished.
Yeah, they would have finished.
So why do you think you have the group that did finish versus the ones who didn't?
I think it's just a mindset thing, to be honest.
Okay.
But I was just telling my niece before we came up here, but there are some people that I know that did finish college making more money than the people who did.
For sure.
Because they mindset, that grit. You know, if they put their mind to something they want to get, they go out to do it. Because that's a lot of entrepreneurs out here that don't have degrees.
Yeah.
And they just doing it because they have that heart and the desire and that passion to do it.
Yeah.
So I say in this day and age, I mean, college is good. And I highly recommend because I enjoy my college experience.
Yeah.
But you don't have to have a college degree to be successful.
Yeah.
You don't. Yeah. Me personally, because I've seen it, I read stories, I've seen multiple entrepreneurs who dropped out.
Yeah.
And being multimillionaires and billionaires.
Yeah.
So it's just the whole mindset and the passion.
Yeah.
For me.
You got to want it.
Yes.
There has to be this thing of you got to want it or something that's really, truly motivating
right.
you to show up every day, be in a class and that mm-hmm. setting, that environment. Because what sometimes people be like, well, don't go to the school party and you're going to flunk it.
Yeah.
I'm like, my friend, like, everybody was kicking it.
Yes.
Even the ones who graduated.
Even the one that graduated. Because I ain't going to lie. Like, I didn't finish on time. But I still graduated.
Yeah.
But my guy, he's in Tampa, he doing all type of bad stuff. Yeah. And he the one finished on time and got the straight A's.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
How?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, right?
You know, I know all the bad stuff that college students do. And he finished on time and got straight A's. I'm like, but it's that he wanted it.
Yeah.
And he had the mindset.
Yeah.
He said, I'm still going to compete. I still have my fun. I'm still going to reach my goal and graduate on time.
Yeah, he still wanted to go after it.
Right.
And so, but we're not encouraging students
to
go party and kick it and do things that they shouldn't.
No.
I'm just saying, like, I like how you clarified or identified that you believe that it's a mindset thing
mm-hmm.
that gets people through that, which that's the way life is in general. Yeah. It's like typically those who really want it have set their mind to going to get it.
Right.
And so regardless of what gets in the way, I'm still going to go after it.
Yep.
You wanted to finish. You wanted to graduate. It may take you a little longer, but you finished.
Right.
Because you wanted it. Right. And then you went and got your master's.
Yep.
So I just wanted to make sure that I just want college students to kind of hear like, and you also said some who didn't finish still have done well for themselves.
Yeah.
So it's not like that's if you don't finish, don't give up hope.
Exactly.
You know? Keep pushing. Get out there and do the things that you need to in order to be successful.
That's right.
I think discovering that thing that's that win for you in life is important. Because once you discover that and really know what you want,
mm-hmm.
then you just kind of go after it.
Yeah.
For example, let's going back to your life. You find We Tell Stories, you find a camera.
Right.
Right? And then you haven't given up. How long was that, 17 years ago?
I mean, I started, I'm going to say around, it was 2009.
That you started with the camera?
With the camera.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. And so,
11 years ago.
Yeah, 11 years. So it started with that because, like I said, went to We Tell Stories in the previous relationship. And I just want to be around the culture. And then that, to be honest, that opened me up because I was very kind of shy, reserved back then. So getting a camera, interacting with people and then your crowd and all that stuff, it took me to a whole nother level. And then that's when, you know, when David saw that, he discovered me. He's like, okay, hey, bro, you want to do some things for me? I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
And that built that relationship with him. So I tell people all the time, like, I got my start from We Tell Stories,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's capturing people and that also built relationships with people in the community.
Yeah.
And so, and also
through the event.
Yeah. Through the event.
Yeah.
And so, I will never take that for granted as well. You know,
mm-hmm.
I love it. I love the singing. I love the poetry. I just love the whole community.
Yeah.
So
the vibes,
the whole vibe,
time.
Man, it was just refreshing. Like every time mm-hmm. I was like, yes, get ready to go, you know, We Tell a Story, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I was doing that out of love.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I wasn't, you know, get paid. And I didn't expect to get paid.
Yeah.
I was doing it out of love because I love people and I love what you was doing for the community. Because like I said, you know, my ex brought it to my attention. I was like, hey, cool. But then after a while, she didn't like to go. I'm like, why? It's just the same thing, same old people. Like, no, this is dope. This is dope.
Yeah.
And so, and it kept growing and growing and growing. So I love yeah. the whole vibe.
You know, and so thinking about that you doing that for free,
mm-hmm.
because oftentimes as entrepreneurs and people who want to get out there and start doing something, you did stuff for free for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the reason you do that is because what? You get to meet people, yep. you build up your community. Yep. Speak to that.
All right. So I tell a lot of people this when I first got started, it's all me. I'm about building relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, for instance, this past Saturday, I did a group of women asked me to do this shoot for them. A bunch of like powerful black women here in Oklahoma City. I'm like, okay, I'll do it for free. And I know half of the women of the group. And I'm like, I don't want nothing. He's like, no, look, you a tip. I'm like, I don't want a tip. They gave me a tip. But also, there's also an opportunity where I can do future shoots with them. The way they'll pay me. But also, I'm about community anyway. But I always tell people, the blessing will come back around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't mind doing, like, in the beginning, I don't mind doing stuff for free. If it's going to come from the kindness of my heart.
Yeah.
Because I know at the end of the day, the blessing will come back around.
Yeah.
So that's my whole MO on that.
For sure. You know, because somebody else who got started with Retail Stories, Sean Johnson.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure Sean can verify this if he's listening. Sean's continued to do well for himself as an artist. But I remember when I would have these talks with him about like, dude, go do as many free shows as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how, one, you're going to be able to get in some doors to get exposure to people who may never have seen you otherwise. And I mean, I think Sean now credits some of that to his success now. And everybody still does stuff for free.
Right. He's going to London and stuff. Like, man, put me in a suitcase with you, brother. I want to go. But that's like from there. Because I met Sean through my ex-brother.
Larry. Yeah.
And I went to one of the studios. His first album, went in the studio. So I'm like, this brother is dope.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was like of a fan when I first heard his songs. I'm like, oh my God. He got this neo-soul gospel vibe. I love it. And being a fan from him being a Retail Story, it created his fan base here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everybody else can just share his, like you said, keep doing his free shows. Yeah. They're going to share free publicity, share your music, your videos. You got a bigger fan base.
Yeah. Now you got an audience.
Yes.
Now he has thousands of Instagram followers, Twitter followers, I'm like, can I get a few?
Exactly.
Can I get a cut of something?
Yeah, Sean is killing it right now. I'm happy for that brother, man.
Oh, and I love his, like, he's still one of the artists that I, like, if I'm going out on a walk or cleaning up around the house, I'm listening to Sean Johnson. Yeah,
I was like,
which is crazy.
I was cutting grass. I was listening to it.
Uh-huh.
So then I was like, I saw it on Tidal. I'm like, oh. All his albums on Tidal. So I started going through all the old school stuff. Then I went to my old CD folder and got his first album.
Yeah.
I'm like, golly. Yeah. So it's
super cool. Like, I love watching your story. A lot of the stories that had the opportunity to be connected to through Retail Stories, mm-hmm. like just how people have evolved and built communities out of that community has been really cool. And I think some of that, thinking about that, what are some things that you, because Go Win is about what are those right things to be consistent in order to achieve the wins
mm-hmm.
that you want for your life. Like, I don't know if I pinpointed that as what that win looks like for me today, but mm-hmm. what do you think were some right things out of that event that you saw that we were doing over and over again?
I feel like you guys were promoting local artists, also bringing the community together, because there was a lot of, back then, a lot of people said there wasn't nothing to do in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then I know a lot of people feel like certain things they don't want to do back then, but you created a space, a positive space for people to hang out and just be themselves and enjoy good music, good poetry. And then some, and also those poets also speak their truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, showcase their talent. And so it was an outlet for him. It was an outlet for me because I'm an upcoming photographer and I'm able to try things, lighting, this and that, you know. And from there, I graduated from that because I was doing just on-camera flash. After that, I got the speed light. And then also you guys allowed me to come out here to do family stuff with you guys.
Yeah.
And so I'm learning through this whole process. And so I think we tell stories, the whole environment, it just opened up a lot of doors for a lot of artists out here. So
yeah, Yeah. I think that was probably the number one thing we did over and over again was give people the opportunity to showcase mm-hmm. their talents and gifts. And in that, I think people appreciate because there wasn't a lot of outlets, especially if you were a Christian-based artist. There wasn't a lot of outlets for that. And which I would say there's still not today. I don't think there's a ton of them. If there's any, that lets them be a true artist and not mm-hmm. have to go into a church environment to do that. So talking about being an up-and-coming photographer at that mm-hmm. time, now you're a vet. Like, not saying you stopped learning, but what are some things that you have seen that you had to do consistently in order to get to where you're at today?
I would say what I continue to do, I watch a lot of YouTube videos. I read a lot of books. I attended a couple of conferences and workshops to build my craft. And then also I was with a group of other photographers who wanted to learn and better themselves as well. So I learned more natural light photography. I learned studio photography. So every day to this day, like after a shoot or event, I will go through my photos, like what I did wrong. And then if I see an error that I made, I go online and research, okay, what I could do better. I should have lit this way, or I should have had the eyes focused, or had them move this way, or I could have caught that distraction on the background. And so I kid you not, my wife would tell you, like, I'm up almost like sometimes 1 a.m. watching YouTube videos or reading articles to better myself.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not in a competition with anyone. I'm trying to better myself every day to make sure I do great work for my clients. And like I did a branding session yesterday, and we did it at the Coco Hotel, downtown Oklahoma City. So we did these shots, and then I show her the first image, and her eyes is lit up. Oh my God. Cause I shot this place multiple times.
Yeah.
So I know how to light it, this and that. And so I was telling her, okay, what you wearing? I'm wearing this tan outfit, whatever. Okay. Your outfit or in your complexion will fit great in this background. So I try to study, and also, well, any shoot, I make Google Map, whatever, and I study the areas. I also study the time of the day. And so I just go all out. And I study Nigerian photographers. I study Russian photographers. Yeah. I study Asian photographers. Asian photographers. And so, I try to better myself every chance I get, to be better. And also just to be a great service of my clients.
Yeah, so. That's cool. Talking about clients, like, how do you cultivate a client relationship to where, and it's not that you intentionally want to do this, but what do you think some things that you're doing to make your client say, hey, go to PJ?
Honest, it's been more referrals. Like, I'm going to say about 90% of my clients has been off referrals.
Yeah.
Because someone else had a good experience or someone seen my work, my quality of work. But also, number one thing I'm hearing from other people is my character. They respect my character, and they know I'm a good dude, and I'm well respected in the city.
Yeah,
and so my name is my name, so I try to keep it that way. If I made a mistake or something, I try to correct it. You know, have I dropped the balls on certain things? Yes, I have.
Yeah,
I try to fix it, and also keep that interaction. For instance, this is a client that she wanted to, I had the whole concept of everything for a shoot, but she didn't want to, do it for some reason.
Yeah.
And so I gave her, her money, some personal partial of her money back because it was non-refundable. But I'm like, you know what? I understand. But I still want to keep this same relationship with her.
Yeah.
And so she could go back and say, I had this relationship, positive relationship with PJ. And either I didn't book with him, I just like what he did, how he handled business.
For sure.
He's a nature. So other than that, I mean, I just like have a positive name in the city and also want to be known for not being those that type of photographer that get over people, price gouging them and all that stuff. I want to be known as I create quality images. Also, I don't just, take pictures. If it's someone professional, and they have the services, I'm also going to promote their business as well.
Yeah.
I don't just be selling, like, okay, you do real estate. When I make a post, I say, hey, this person do real estate, check them out. Or someone selling the t-shirts, check this person out. You know, I try to show love and respect to other people. So,
man, that's cool. And so talking about, because I know that people who are having to service clients, sometimes clients aren't the easiest.
Yeah.
Right? They can be very challenged, especially in your, like, talking about, I could not be a photographer because I've dealt with people and they can be super picky. And,
yeah.
You know, how do you go about dealing with challenging clients, for lack of a better word? We love our clients, but they can be picky.
I mean, yeah. I still try to be a professional at the end of the day.
Yeah.
If there's some that's like super picky, you know, or they want to go overboard with the editing, like, can you make me super, super small? Or like, I'm not a magician. I can't, you know, I do my best.
You know? Without making you look like a clown, right?
Yeah. So, but I would say only have maybe one or two challenging clients, me personally.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's something I can't do, I can't do. If it's something I can't, I'm going to try my best to, you know, whatever they need, or they need to do a touch up here and there, or, you know, can you retake this? Because there was a client where we did a shoot and their kid was kept running around. I can't control that. That's your kid.
Yeah.
I tell them, you know, hey, look here, look here, look here.
Yeah.
They moving around. So she didn't like that. So I'm like, okay, this is also a lawyer client as well. So I'm going to go all out for my lawyer clients as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we actually went to her home and did more photos, and she enjoyed that. And then she sent me a Christmas card and everything. And so I want to say that was difficult. I mean, it was difficult because kids, they could get crazy.
Yeah.
But in that, I try to accommodate them the best way I can. And I don't mind doing it because my wife's like, you be doing too much. I'm like, it's just me.
Yeah.
You know, but I haven't had like a crazy, crazy customer.
Yeah.
You know? But other than that, I just try to accommodate as much as I can.
That's good. No, I like that. That's a great answer to just say, hey, within the challenges, how can I accommodate them, right? Because everybody in life, marriage, whatever, work, you're going to have these challenging relationships. You don't bail on them.
Right.
You try to compromise, communicate.
Yep.
And then that way it can be a win for both of you. Make the adjustment. Now you get a Christmas card, right? They get a great photo.
Right. And then they returning clients. Like, how are you every year? Every year. So that's why I try to, like, especially for the loyal clients, I try to go above and beyond for them. And also new clients as well. But for the loyal clients that hire me every year, I try to go above and beyond.
That's good. So that's good. So tell me what's next for you in photography. Where you headed? What's the dream?
Okay. So next for me, I want to do a little bit more. I know a lot of people see me doing portraits and events. So I do want to get into a little bit more of the real estate photography. I have done a little bit, do more real estate photography, product photography, and food photography.
Okay.
I want to add those in my, you know, in my services. Also, I might dib into videography. You know, I've been pushing that back for years. Everyone's like, you do videography? I'm like, nah, but I know a couple of videographers I know that's their passion.
Yeah.
They would do that. But I just bought a gimbal, and so I'm going to put that to work. Everything buy another, I'm going to buy a drone. So I got to put that to work.
Yeah.
And so that's the next way for some photography. Because as you can tell, you know, due to COVID, all my events are got.
Yeah. Yeah, who you?
All my event gigs are gone. Yeah, yeah. So by the grace of God, I'll still be able to do portraits.
Yeah.
And so, but I do want to have real estate photography, the food photography. And I think a little bit, I'm going to go towards more commercial. We work with big brands.
Okay.
And so, because I'll.
Big brands, tell us what big,
like,
brands
big
are.
Big brands, like, you know, for like the Coca-Cola's, the AT&T. Doing commercial work like that,
okay.
Where they hire you in to do a campaign, a marketing campaign, and you work with a creative director, and you come up with this, you guys come up with this concept, and they use it for marketing, you know, things of that nature. So that's more commercial photography. So I've been studying that as well. I study a lot of different styles of photography, but I think that's the lane I'm gonna get into next.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're very detailed, like you're learning a bunch. Do you have you thought about doing a YouTube channel and teaching people?
I thought about it, but I still got to figure out how I wanted to launch that. Because another peer of mine, she said the same thing. Like, we should start doing YouTube videos or teaching or having workshops. I mentor other photographers as well.
Yeah.
And I thought about maybe doing a workshop just to get a vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And how, you know, how they receive it. I mean, it's just a thought.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't, you know, we'll see.
So as a photographer, though, how has cell phones, like, hurt you as a business? Or do you just love it and just kind of buy into it and incorporate that? What does that look like for you? Like, I hear some photographers kind of like cell phones.
I mean, you can't help it. Technology, like these new iPhones and, you know, the megapixels and the quality is like, golly.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, people going to take pictures on their phone regardless.
Yeah.
There's actually a brother in Oklahoma. He's doing pretty well with doing cell phone photography. And so he's doing pretty well for himself. So I can't, you know, knock it. I just worry about what I do and grab it to the clients that love my work.
That's good.
Yeah. That's pretty much.
Because you will always need a photographer, especially if you're trying to really capture something, talking about partnering with brands and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to be somebody that they will have this expectation with, that he or she walks in with a camera and not a cell phone. Mm-hmm. However, you know, like you said, there are some people who have made a niche for themselves, but it's very niche to just be rocking a cell phone and grow a business with it, you know? So that's cool, man. How can people find you?
I'm on, you know, Facebook for photography, Soul Focus Photos by R. Tolar. IG, Soul Focus Photos. Twitter, Soul Focus Photos. The website, because I'm trying to change that. I'm on Squarespace right now. So the website is www.soulfocusphotos.com. It's currently private right now. I'm just making some tweaks and, you know, trying to get that up and going on as well. Also, you know, some people personally, I am under Rudolph Tolar. That is Rudolph. Tolar is T as in Tom, Olar.
Nice. 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 Man, just real quick, talking about website. Do people still go to websites? Like, have you found value in that?
To be honest, I get most of my bookings through social media. Yeah. My Instagram, my Facebook page.
Yeah.
That's where 90% of my business come from. Then also just word of mouth, people calling me, whatever. But that's where you see my portfolio at.
Yeah.
And so they say you do, but I don't, because there's been times where my website has been private for years.
Yeah.
And I still get booked. I still get booked. Like, I mean, like, I'm like 2 months booked in advance.
Yeah.
Off Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
And so, teach his own, you know what I'm saying? So what?
For sure. I mean, I'm not a photographer, but I still have a website. But every time somebody asks me about a website, I'm like, what do you need? Like,
right.
Well, are you going to truly be pushing it? Like, if you don't have a game plan to get people to your website,
right,
it's no need to even have a website if you already have an Instagram and Facebook. And like you said, most people are reaching out to you via one of those two. So,
yeah, because they is pretty much. Where's your Instagram page? Oh, here you go. That's why I made, you know, my personal and my business page. So you can see all my work. If you have any additional questions, let me know. And we go into details on everything else. But other than that, Instagram, Facebook, that's where I got my
You got a personal and a business Instagram?
Yeah.
So you kind of separate
the two? Yeah, so I separated the two. So I had a Pete Gillishy Instagram, and I had a Soul Focus Photos account.
Okay.
So, I separated.
Okay.
I actually did, to be honest, I did that at the beginning of the year.
This year?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know if I follow.
You follow P. Gillishy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I need to follow the business.
Yeah. So all the business got all my photos
on
it. And so, I had to make that switch because I was seeing how much my peers, not just here, but photographers around the United States, separate their accounts. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it's best.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
You hear either way, like different ways. But I think if you can manage both.
Cool. Yeah, I try to manage both. I need to get back. I need to get down where I'm scheduling posts and things of that nature. I've been kind of lazy on that, but yeah.
How you scheduling them? Do Facebook page?
On Facebook, and then also Facebook on Instagram. You also do the schedule on that as well.
Yeah.
Or there's apps you can use
to schedule. Buffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think now it's probably just be best to use Facebook to schedule. through Instagram. Facebook's probably going to favor that more so than I've just heard different things. I use Buffer quite a bit, but I've heard that they kind of hold that against you and maybe not put you in many as many feeds.
Wow, they know that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, use the Facebook scheduler because they're really ramping that up and making it really robust. And so it's probably because they want that's what they want you to go through.
Yeah, that's crazy because I post the ad. I mean, I purchased an ad from this last engagement shoot I did a while back. And I have, about 300 some likes off the pictures. I'm like, man. Yeah. Then also, I didn't even post an ad on Facebook. Like I said, I know they own my Facebook, on Instagram, but on my Facebook business page, that jumped, because it was at like maybe like 30 to 50 likes.
Yeah.
That jumped to almost 100 some likes on Facebook. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, they want you to come back.
Yeah.
You know, they want you to put $5 and $10.
Yeah.
I mean, you think you got billions of people, you get half of them, half a billion doing $5 boost every once in a while. The money they making is ridiculous,
exactly,
man. You know, but so let me say this too. Not that I'm bashing websites. I think I would more so say people have a website, have an email list, because those are yours.
Yeah.
Facebook, like you said, like getting in front of people is challenging. Even building so there's an app called Basecamp, like building your community through that, like maybe your photography community. Because then, like, even though my people have come and liked my Facebook page, they still don't see all of my stuff.
Yeah.
Even though they have intentionally came and said, hey, I want to see this person's stuff.
Right.
Facebook still doesn't, because it's a bit, and I respect them for it. Like,
that's true. Yeah, that's how I was, like, on my Facebook page. I'm like, I know back in the days, a lot of my people see my posts, but now,
no, man. And like, and I mean, yeah, I got a few thousand, and people don't.
Yeah.
They don't see it. So that's the reason. And one, I know like all the thousand people on my social media, whatever, aren't going to be true fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'd rather have my true fans in my email list or in a separate community where I'm touching them on a regular basis. Not even in groups. Like when you create a Facebook group, everybody doesn't see it. So it's just wild, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's just wild, man. So, but you just keep trucking at it, man, and moving along. One more thing before we jump on. You talked about mentorship. You mentoring people. Do you also have a mentor?
To be honest, I don't have a mentor as far as photography. There was a gentleman that I admired. His name was Omar. He was more fashion editorial. So I seen his work, and then I met him at a networking event, and I just came up to him like, hey, I just want to say I admire your work. I think you're a great photographer. And so he started following me and started seeing certain things I was doing. So he would just inbox me like, hey, do this, you know, change your settings here and there. And then when I started doing studio lighting, he was the first guy to allow me to use his equipment. I'm like, this is some expensive equipment.
Yeah, that's
true. And so I did a shoot with a friend of mine on a rooftop, and he came and I learned how to use studio lights. And he was like, okay, you need a little bit of money, use this. So he was giving me tips back then. And then I started studying other photographers, like some photographers in New York, Atlanta, things of that nature. And I started reading a lot. And then people started coming to me, inboxing me. Hey, I like your work, your style. Can I get some tips? You know, I share tips. I don't give them my whole everything, but I don't mind sharing, you know, tips and things of that nature. And then a young man named Sakarius right now, his IG is Zero Creative. Back in my he followed me. He was shouting me at my old church a long time ago. And then a couple years ago, he came back and said, hey, PJ, I want to shout you more on your shoots. I'm like, sure, no problem. So he took everything I told him with the camera, the lenses, and everything. And I tell you right now, this young man is killing it. Like, I told him, like, it's time for you to start charging what you're worth. And I could see you going to L.A. or New York, because he shoot kind of like more editorial style. He's been published a couple magazines here in the city. But I'm so amazed at how he have grown as a awesome photographer. Same with my other friend, Jaleesa. Her father introduced her to me years ago. He's working at Dell. And then we did like a little fun shoot together. She took pictures of me, and then she did her my second wedding I've done. I had her to like, hey, take this camera, shoot like this. I told her, actually, no, I just told her like, be yourself, and she killed it. Yeah. And then she started, you know, studying other photographers, going to workshop, and now she's a beast when it comes to, you know, wedding and branding photography. So
is she still in the city?
Yeah, she's still in the city, killing it.
Yeah,
that's another person that I just like so happy I seen.
Yeah,
grow.
Yeah,
and so that's another young man who's also a mentor. So I'm waiting for his glow up.
For sure.
So I'm happy. I mean, I just want to give back because I'm gonna say for us, Omar, he gave me some tips, and then another guy, I'm gonna take it back, another guy named Johnny Hernandez. We just had all these meetups, and also learned like editing, and also lighting from him as well. So those two people that I would say I got some my skill set from, and build from that, and then study and practicing trial and error, things of that nature. So,
man, shout out to you photographers and that editing stuff, man. Like, I cannot, like, bro, the coloring and all that stuff. And
it took me
histogram
years.
And
it took me years.
It took me years
to actually master Photoshop because I was like, when I first started, I was using Inkscape and GIMP.
Yeah,
I was using those, you know, open source programs, and then Omar got me on Lightroom and Photoshop. But I didn't touch Photoshop. Like, I was like scared of it. And then I noticed some of my peers was like, yeah, his retouching ain't that good. It's okay. They not saying, but I can tell.
Yeah.
Because there was one incident where I had a whole concept for a photo shoot with a peer of ours. And then I get to the shoot. They went with someone else. But my peer told the other photographer, like, come and learn. I could have said, screw y'all, I'm not coming, blah, blah, blah. But it was a learning experience. And also motivate me to go back and study. So the next time, no one will never reject me again.
For sure. That's cool, man. Tell people one more time, where can they find you? What's the one spot? Like, if there was any spot in the world, what would they go to find you? Instagram.
Soul Focus. That's SOFOCUSPOOTOS. That's Instagram. Then also, if you're on Facebook, so focus photos on Art Tola. So those are two main places where.
Man, make sure y'all go follow PJ. PJ, man, thank you so much. That was a lot of good information, man. Yeah, man. So go follow PJ. I'm excited about what PJ, where he's headed in his business and in his life. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you again for hitting that play button. As always.